coming out of a lot of churches, I mean after services coming out of a lot of churches and running into different people, I have heard over the years people say this, "Well, I don't feel like I have been to church unless my toes have been stomped on, unless I have been pummeled really hard by the preacher. If he doesn't lay some kind of real harsh guilt on me, I really don't feel like I have been to church." Well, folks, that is Old Testament theology speaking there. You see, they were under the law and they were under this condemnation every time they failed. But that is not the New Testament way to view things. But before we get into the New Testament things, I'd like to explain some stuff to you about the Old Testament and what the Exodus taught us. Even in the Old Testament, that idea of being punished was not the way it was supposed to be. We know Adam and Eve, they fell, and that's not the way it was supposed to be. But in the Exodus part of it, they came out and God had... Okay, here's something that most people don't understand. People think, well, now scientists are saying, well, these miracles really didn't happen. It just so happened that on the day that the children of Israel decided to cross the Red Sea, there was a big volcano blew up in the Mediterranean Sea, and that's what caused the Red Sea to part, and therefore it really wasn't God. And it really wasn't God that those walls fell down at Jericho. It just happened that the day that the children of Israel finished their marching around on seven times and blew that trumpet that the walls fell down, it just happened to coincide with a earthquake. Excuse me. Our God is eternal and He knows the beginning from the end and He knows every event and the way things are going to happen, and He can line these things up to get those children right there at the right time for that Red Sea to part by using that volcano. He can use that earthquake to make those walls fall down right on cue. That's why it was so important that when they got to Kadesh Barnea, the children of Israel, after the Exodus, the first time He said, "You go in now to the land of promise, the land that's flowing with milk and honey." Because right on that day, I don't know what happened, but something was scheduled to happen. And because they didn't go, the next day they started, and He said, "Don't go, because it's not happening. It's over with. The event is over with." And they had to wander around 40 years, and the next scheduled event was the earthquake that would cause the children of Israel to blow the horns and the walls come down. It is God's perfect timing that He causes these things to happen and coincide. That's why it says that Jesus came at the appropriate and at the appointed time. At the perfect time, He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up, He worked His miracles, and then He passed away on Passover at the perfect time to have the maximum impact. But the whole idea here is, even in the Exodus, God was trying to teach us, and trying to teach them, that He is a good God and a gracious God, but they were functioning under an Old Testament where it said, if you fail, you will receive punishment. God had provisionally provided for these kids, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. He had provided for them so when they got right to that Red Sea, it would part. He also provided, miraculously, because there's no other way of explaining the pillar of fire by night nor the pillar of cloud by day, He provided for them also that. He had made provisional timing for the children of Israel all along the way. He had timed it out so that at exactly the right time, manna would fall from heaven. At exactly the right time, the quail would be blown into them. At exactly the right time, He even provided water for them. Exactly the right time, He got them to a place that had 70 date palm trees. And if you've ever had dates in Israel, they're like eating candy. So He even provided treats for them along the way. And all this provision was there. And the only thing that was supposed to be smitten or beaten on that trip was that rock. That rock was supposed to be hit one time so that the water would flow out of it and bless them with the water of life so that they could refresh themselves even in a dry and desert place that they were in. But the children, oh, impetuous that they were sitting there on their way, and it's like, oh, were there not enough graves in Egypt so you brought us out here to this miserable place so we could die and be buried out here? Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we could just eat leeks and cucumbers again. Leeks are like onions, by the way. So if we could just eat onions and cucumbers, it would have been all right if they had mentioned vinegar, right? A little vinegar, a little oil, onions and cucumbers. But they didn't even mention vinegar. So they was just going to eat onions and cucumbers again. And they were griping and complaining, and God kept trying to teach them, don't do that. I have provided for you, trust me. And they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back. And they were willing to go back to Egypt, to the taskmasters, to the, who beat them, who made them work hard and toil in the sun and in the sweat. And I don't see how they could desire that when they had the promises of God that said, you will cross out of here and I'm taking you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Trust me, I will get you there right on time. And they were headed that way, and they griped and moaned and complained. And they felt like, well, basically there's some churches that have this tradition that they gripe and moan and complain even though God has made promises to them, and they think that they have to be beaten by taskmasters or God's really not taking care of them. But see, that's not the idea that the New Testament actually teaches. The New Testament theology teaches something different. And this is what it is. We Christians, all the people here who are assembled in this church sanctuary who have accepted Christ as their Savior are not just children of Israel. We are children of God. And we also are on an exodus. We are making a trip out of this world and into a better place to come. Not just a land flowing with milk and honey, which would be good. We are going to a land where Jesus Christ is the light and He is providing for us. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and all that's here. Can you imagine what He's prepared for us? Because it's taken Him 2,000 years to get this prepared for us. And Paul says, eye hath not seen nor ear has heard, and man cannot imagine the things that are prepared for us in heaven. So we've got great things to look forward to, and He tells us to trust me. I have made provisions for you along the way. God says to us, and He had made promises to them, God says to us, and I will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this, that God would supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. He's saying we are well provisioned for this trip. Now there are some people, and I take my hats off to them because at least they're out there trying. Years ago I ran across one lady, and Christian no doubt, and she had received some teaching and she was trying to follow it, see if it was correct. She had been told that if you have the faith, all you have to do is just speak to your bank account. Just speak to it and say to the bank account, you know, hold your checkbook with a little number on it and say, be filled with money. At the end of the month, you will have plenty of money in your bank account. And she tried that. It wasn't there. And she tried it again, and it wasn't there. And she tried it again, and it still wasn't there. But that's not what God said. He said, along the way, you are going to be provisioned. Things are there provided for you according to His riches and glory. You will not suffer want. It's not saying we're all going to be filthy rich. He's saying provisions are there along the way. Take the time to enjoy the trip. And if you get in a hot, dry place, know that provisions are coming towards you even at that point in time. Even though you're in a place that just seems miserable, say, ha ha. God is going to provide for me and mine. It's coming because He has provisioned us according to His supply that He has in heaven. And just like the only thing that was to be beaten on that first trip in the book of Exodus was that rock, the only thing that was supposed to be beaten in the New Testament, the only one who is supposed to be beaten is Jesus Christ. And when you read the book of Hebrews, it says that rock that was talked about in the Old Testament in Exodus, that rock was Jesus. And there's even a song that says, that rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Then it goes on, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The rock was Jesus Christ. And that was supposed to be teaching them that the provisions was there and that rock would meet all their needs. And we're to understand that that rock was the only thing that was to be smitten. And Jesus Christ in the New Testament is the only being who was to be smitten. We are not smitten by God. We might get roughed up some along the way. We might get trounced upon along the way. But that is not from God. God is the one who's providing for us. And He's saying, I will be there for you and I will meet your needs. It says that He has made known, He, God, has made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be our sin, who became our sin on behalf of us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Why do you read that verse here? Because that's the main provision that's made for us in the New Testament. He, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin whatsoever, yet He became, He didn't just bear our sin, He became our sin, literally. He became all of our failures from Adam and Eve all the way into the future. He became our sin. He who knew no sin became our sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now that word might, if you will look it up in a Greek interlinear, and I can help you find that, if you will look that up in a Greek interlinear, that word might is not there. It says that He became our sin so that we become His righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin, that over here, we who were sinful become righteous. Just like He became sin, we literally become righteous. He became sin and He expected God's righteous indignation and judgment to fall upon Him. And He suffered all of our sin for us. He suffered that judgment and He endured that judgment, so that we could become the righteousness of God. If He became the sin and expected to be judged, we become the righteousness of God. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. What should we expect? To be blessed. We should expect to be blessed and to receive provision from God at exactly the right time in our life, and to patiently wait until He provides. And if we have something bad, to patiently wait and let Him provide the way out. Let Him provide the deliverance. He became sin, we become righteous. Oh yeah, we still make mistakes and we still confess our sins, but we become righteous. Therefore, right now, if you have trusted in Christ, you are righteous now. Right now. Even though you did something wrong this morning, now you are righteous in Christ. We should expect, because of what He accomplished, we should expect the blessings of God toward us, not deserving, but just wonderfully heaped upon us, just given to us. I'd like to bring out something else. I've been talking about our toes being stepped on. That is an Old Testament idea, that we have to have our toes stepped on. True, in the New Testament, sins are talked about, but they are always talked about this way. These are the sins that will bring the judgment of God upon the people of the earth. Fear, cowardice, lying, and stealing. You can be condemned to hell for those. Most people don't think of those. Cowardice? In the book of Revelations, cowards are thrown into the lake of fire. Yep, that'll get you there. We don't think of those, but those things will get us there. Our failures will get us there, but every time these things are talked about, it goes back and says, but thank God through Jesus Christ, our sins can be washed away. Praise God that His blood covers us and cleanses us from all sin. And He talks about all this time. So while the Old Testament, people expected to have their toes stepped on, we have something else to expect about our toes. And this is it. When little children first learn to walk, have you noticed that they walk on their tiptoes? They walk on their tiptoes. And that's how they first learn to walk. Pay real close attention to these kids. I'm talking little bitty. They'll hang on. They'll walk on their tiptoes. There are cultures that believe this, that the children descend from heaven, from the presence of God, and when they're learning to walk, they still remember that kind of blessing, even though they can't talk about it. And they walk on their tiptoes because they're trying to get as close to heaven as they can. But as they become more involved in earth, they learn to walk more like a normal person, with their feet flat on the ground, well grounded, and they walk. We are the children of God. Folks, we should learn, at least in our head, to walk on our tiptoes spiritually, saying, I am going to the presence of God, and I want to get as close as I can, so I'm walking on my tiptoes. We are the children of God. And that is good news to us. The good news is the power of God unto salvation. It's what the Scripture says. The good news is there. And this is the time of year that we choose to celebrate the Christ coming to the earth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's what the angels said. That is the good news of Jesus Christ and His coming. Good news. A Savior is born, not a judge. A Savior is born, not an executioner. A Savior is born, and we are here to celebrate it. We are here to celebrate it this time of year. And it's chosen because we know that the days are getting shorter and the nights are getting longer. But we, by faith, say we know for a fact the days are going to get longer and the light is coming. We choose to celebrate that time in recognition that a Savior is born to us. And we are on an exodus. And provision is made for us all along the way until we stand in the presence of God, whether we are called individually, but we are being called constantly to walk higher, to walk higher. God says there's the upward calling. Paul says that through the Holy Spirit. There is an upward calling, and we are called to go upward all the time. That's why we walk on our tippy toes spiritually. We are called upward. God never treads us down. God never punishes us and rubs our nose in the mud. He's always doing an upward calling. He's always saying, rise up. Rise up and walk. Rise up. Take your bed and walk. Rise up, Jesus says. Rise up, says God. And on that one day, there's going to come a day when He'll have the mass exodus, and He will say to all the Christians, both living and passed away, rise up and come meet me in the air, and we will go and we'll always be with the Lord. There's only one person who was supposed to receive a beating from God, the judge, in the New Testament theology, and that beating was laid upon Jesus Christ. And we get the blessing. This table here is to remind us of two things. He received the beating. This is the blood of the covenant. This is my body which is broken for you. But we receive the provision. Here is food and drink for us to remind us that all along the way, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we can expect provision for us until we come to that place, the river of Jordan, if you want to say that, and at some point He'll say, come on over. Come on over to the other side. They always say, Enoch walked with God and he was not, because one day he got so close and God said, it's closer to come to my house than it is to go home. So why don't you just come up here? We are supposed to be walking with God on our little tippy toes as best we can, expecting that provision and listening for that upward calling. God does not tread us down. God lifts us up. And this is a time of being lifted up. Christ received the beating. We received the blessing. Would the elders please come forward at this time?